The Electrician Podcast, powered by Schneider Electric. We're bringing you the electrical industry experts you need to hear to discuss the topics you need to know about.
Welcome to the Electrician Podcast, powered by Schneider Electric. The following episodes you're about to listen to are from a larger conversation recently had between Amy, aka Amy the Spark, and Vildan, Deepak, and James, who all have their various roles within Schneider Electric. We've broken out the discussions to make them a little more digestible, and over the next five episodes, we'll be covering how Amy runs a professional and profitable business, new technology solutions for your customers, PowerTag, sustainability, the residential landscape, and much more. All important links and details for each episode can be found in the show notes of the podcast, so be sure to check those out. With that out of the way, let me hand over to James.
Welcome everybody here today on the Electrician Podcast, powered by Schneider Electric, and we are going to be talking about a broad array of topics, everything from our Actinine range to electricity 4.0, how everything's connected. But before we do that, let's have an introduction from everybody. So Amy, would you like to introduce yourself first?
I'm Amy, or maybe sometimes known as Amy the Sparky on Instagram, and I'm an electrician based in South Derbyshire.
Hi everybody, my name's Deepak Sharad. I'm one of the offer development and marketing managers in Schneider Electric. I've got the amazing responsibility of looking after the Actinine product that you've probably heard about in our industry.
Hello, this is Vildan. I'm responsible from the electrician channel as a channel marketing manager in Schneider.
And my name is James Parks, and I'm also one of the offer managers here at Schneider Electric. I cover off a number of different products, everything from our Easy9 consumer units through to our KQ offer and our iLine offer in the panel board range.
Nice to meet everybody, and those of you that are listening, you know, I hope we can actually impart some great information and share some good discussion points with you all. I think one of the things I was going to ask was, Amy, I think, you know, you've evolved as a business, you've evolved as an electrician. Some of the topics that I think I'm going to sort of talk about later in the series and today as well is around sort of some of the digital journeys and so forth. But tell us a bit of a background about how you started and sort of how you've evolved as an electrician.
I went self-employed as a sole trader about 3 years ago now, and I was just on my own, subbing to people, and then just sort of booking my own jobs in, building my own client base, which took a little bit of time. But I was never quiet. I was busy straight from the off. So I think, you know, business was always good, but it was just me for about 18 months. So then I've joined with my partner, Danny. We joined together, created a new business, and then the aim was just to grow the business so we could sort of step away from the tools a little bit as we get older. So that's what we've been doing. And at the minute, we're in a period of huge growth. It's sort of come from nowhere, but it's good. It's all positive. So we've got we've got seven people out working for us. It's busy times.
That's really good to hear. What were the main things that you thought about as you've started to grow? What are the sort of big topics that come to mind?
For us, the biggest things with growing was trying to get organised. So when it was just myself and Danny, it was easy to organise ourselves. When you bring more people into the business, we had to find a way and a system of organising all those people and all the various things that those people would need. They're all in different locations on different jobs. So a big thing we had to think about was how we were gonna do that. So we've gone sort of electronic and we're using like a job management app to get organised and everyone knows where they're going, when they need to be there, what they need, what the job is. So that was a huge thing for us. And that was actually difficult for me because I've always been like a pen and paper sort of person. So switching to that digital, like electronic version was actually really difficult for me, but it's really helping.
So you're taking that digital journey.
Yeah.
Was it scary?
It was for me because when you are like a when you're a visual person, like a pen and paper person, and you want to write stuff down and see it, that it just feels different, doesn't it? To it's like reading. So I do a lot of reading, you know, at home, and I'll still only read books. I don't like reading on a screen.
You haven't moved over to tablets.
I haven't moved over. I tried, but it just didn't work for me. So that at the beginning, I was very against it, and then when it started to become really busy, I obviously saw the benefits of moving into that, and yeah, so I've accepted that we need that, and I'm getting on okay with it now.
Amy, so I know that you've been on a number of social platforms, and you know you talk a lot about sort of your sort of journey into this space as a female electrician, or a female spark, how you want to term it. How did you end up becoming an electrician?
So I always wanted to do something like this. I always thought I'd be a plumber, just because my granddad was a plumber, and I just couldn't get into it. It was a bit maybe dirty for me. So yeah, my brothers and both went into electric. So my older brother.
Sorry, I've got to ask you. Did you ever do the leak in the fridge joke?
No, that's a dad joke. So my brothers are both electricians. So they did it first. My older brother did it, and then my younger brother did it, and I was so interested in it, but maybe a bit scared to go into it, because obviously there's not a lot of women in it. At this point, I was older. I was, you know, late 20s, and I was thinking, is it too late? Do I want to go to college and be the only girl? And I thought, yeah, let's just do it. So I just jumped into it.
I think it's a great idea. I think when I was at college some time ago, there was a girl there at the doing the same thing, because she wanted to set a business up as an electrician, but mm-hmm. focus on other ladies, other girls that had got their own house that didn't mm-hmm. want another guy coming yeah. into the house. So yeah. just that sort of the security aspect.
There is
of
a real market for it, and I think that's where I was going to say I've been lucky. I don't think it's luck. I've worked really hard to get here, and I think it's been quite easy for me to get business because of that, because it is a niche in the market, and my phone just rings and rings and rings, and I didn't advertise. So it's only since we've set up the new business together, and we're really trying to obviously grow the business, that we've started advertising. My first 18 months on my own, I didn't advertise at all, and everything was just recommendations, word of mouth. It just grew naturally, and it was quite easy for me. I never worried about being self-employed.
Best form of advertising, isn't it, word of mouth?
Yeah. So yeah, it's been quite easy for me in that way.
So on the back of that, then, you know, it's really interesting to see that we're seeing more females in what was historically a really sort of male dominated industry. And I remember coming into this electrical industry, and you know, the typical stereotypes that you would see, sort of, you know, middle to late age male. I find it really interesting how it's changed over the last 18 years of my life in this industry, and I really see a positive change. We as a business in Schneider Electric, we do a lot with empowering women in our industry. So you know, we do focus on helping people to try and enter this industry, but also to ensure that they've got a career path mapped out. So, you know, a number of the colleagues that I have in an engineering sort of mindset, engineering space, are actually females. And it's brilliant to see the mix of skills, backgrounds, and the way of thinking that's quite different in having a mixed team. I think, Vildan, you can probably add to that. You've come from an engineering background, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm an electrical engineer. To be honest, it was not easy also to decide to be an electrical engineer. So it has been now more than 10 years for me as an electrical engineer. So at the university also, sometimes I was the only one in the class as a woman. So it is not easy, but you have some challenges, but you have also some advantages. To be
100%.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. So, and working in a Schneider Electric, you know, we as a part of our company, they really support women. Mm-hmm. So you have lots of let's say the opportunities also.
Yeah.
Maybe I can say more advantaged more advantage that we have more than you, Deepak, maybe sometimes,
sometimes.
As a woman in the company. So yeah, we have challenging parts, but we have lots of advantages also to be a woman in this industry.
I'd say I think it's about 4 years since I started my social media, I can see a change in that. There's probably the same amount of like women in the industry, but it's becoming more normal because we're becoming more seen, and that's in just 4 short years. Like when I started my social media, there was hardly any, like on Instagram there was hardly any, all that I knew of, female trades, not just electricians but through all the trades, and now it's becoming like, you know, social media is becoming popular to have that work account. And and I think that was like my aim. It was just to, for us to be seen, to make it look the norm. And I think that's the way to encourage more women in, because even from my point of view, you know, at 20, I think I was 27, 28 when I went to college, it's daunting to go and think, am I going to be the only woman? You don't know, because you don't see women doing it. You think, oh, you're going to be the only woman there. But often that's not the case now. More colleges that I talk to are seeing more and more women coming through college, which is amazing. And I think, you know, at 28, I was probably like 100 times more confident than I was at 18. I don't know if I could have gone through college at 16, 17, 18. With, you know, feeling I was going to be the only woman, I was going to face these challenges, because it is scary. So I think that's the way to get the apprentices in through the door. I think just for women to be seen and it to be a normal job is the way forward.
I think you're right. I think the social media aspect of it, podcasts and things, there's lots and lots of women out there that are doing it. You can go onto any kind of social media platform and you look at electricians, plumbers or anything like that, and you will see women trades on there.
It's everywhere fantastic. Now. Really good. It's really evolving. It's really good.
Well, I guess the evolution is throughout the sexes, throughout the industry, throughout the trades, but also throughout the products and the way we have changed in the industry and are changing the industry from a what I guess was a very kind of single line structured energy in one side and energy out the other, to actually mapping and molding and looking at what the each building and how each building is managed, not only from an electrical point of view but from a sustainability and so on and so forth. And I guess if we move on now to kind of what we're doing and how we're helping that and get some people's views on that. Deepak, I think you're in a great position to start talking about this sort of thing.
I think it's interesting. We talk about an evolution in terms of, you know, the male-dominated industry. We're seeing more females. That itself is an evolution. I think we talk about evolutions and revolutions. There's some topics, I think, that probably go a little unnoticed. So the last year of my life, I've spent, you know, a lot of time discussing around how technology is changing. Many of us, if I take it back to a little history lesson or a school lesson, we all know about industrial revolutions. You know, we teach it at school. We talk about sort of steam, industrial revolution at the start. We talk about how the changes around mass deployment, mass production around manufacturing for the second industrial revolution. We talk about silicon and microprocessors and circuit chips around the third industrial revolution. And then more recently in our industry, we've talked a lot about industry 4.0 or the fourth industrial revolution. And it's quite a big topic because we talk around sort of the rapid evolutions of internet, IoT, digital technologies, robotics, you know, even artificial intelligence. One of the things I think we don't really talk about a lot is underpinning all of these revolutions, there's been electricity or electrification changes or electricity revolutions themselves. So as far back as the first industrial revolution, we had pioneers of Volta and Faraday that really made some big advances and leaps forward in the practical use of electricity. And these were, you know, really important points that underpin the industrial revolutions. Then the second electricity revolution around mass electrification, coming through the, you know, the introduction of early power plants. Then there was the third electricity revolution, which was more around silicon development.
It's the introduction of kind of renewables and things like that.
That's the one, James. So, you know, we start to understand when we've got industrial revolutions, they've actually had a parallel running alongside them with electricity revolutions. And we're at a point where we talk about Industry 4.0 or Industrial Revolution 4, but actually we're also at the same point talking about Electricity 4.0 or the fourth electricity revolution. This is all around, I suppose, it's topics that we are all very familiar with, but don't actually relate it to the electricity sort of revolution. So the convergence of digital and electric, its combination of software, and it's all about driving efficiency and sustainability. And that's quite a commercial or scripted way of talking about Electricity 4.0. But if we think about our spaces at home, we're all undergoing this journey. Amy, you just touched earlier on when we talked about you walking in with your notepad, taking some notes, making a quote, you know, very, very traditional paper and pen, to starting to talk about software as a service or software to try and support your business and the way that you interact with your customers. So before I go on any further, a question to you then, Amy. How are you now? You talked about taking a journey in digitization to help take your business to sort of its next stages. What are you doing in terms of digitization and using digital tools for your business? I'm sure some of the listeners will be thinking, well, what's this topic around? If I'm not walking in with my pad or notebook, what do I do? What's out there? What's available? So what are you using or what type of tools have you got?
So we use a job management app. So we have it all on the screen, on the computer at home all the time. We can put all of our engineers on there. And then each engineer just has the app on their phone and they can just see their diary. So we don't need to be, you know, making loads of phone calls to each engineer and seeing, you know, where are you, what, you know, where are you booked in, are you free? Because we can see that they can block time out if they've got days they can't do or whatever. So we just keep adding jobs in and then they can just see their own diary. We can do quotes on there that automatically get sent to the customer. They can click to change to accept the quote. It comes back to us. We can then change that to a job, add it into someone's diary. When it's done, the engineer can put notes on or if they need to, or photos. Comes back to us, then we turn that to an invoice, goes back out. It also can send the day before or 24 hours before, it can send a reminder. So when we book the job in, it sends like a booking confirmation on a text or email, whatever you choose. Then the day before, it will send a reminder, you know, Amy will be with you, just to remind you, Amy will be with you at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. We can put lists of materials on there that we need. It's all on there. Everybody has their app. Everybody knows individually what they're doing without me having to make loads of phone calls or texts to you know, confirm these with people.
And it keeps the customer up to date as well with
what
you're doing.
It keeps the customer up to date. And I think we had a lot of feedback from customers because imagine a lot of our domestic customers were previously, you know, my customers when I was on my own. So they sort of know me, and I've always sort of, you know, at the beginning I was just in touch with them through text or WhatsApp. And a lot of people have commented how professional the new system is. You know, they really like it. It does look professional. It's good all around, isn't it? Sending, you know, reminders and
a lot easier than hoping they'll answer the phone to update them and get in touch with the people that are working for you.
Remembering to do those things. Yeah. It takes stress away from me. It takes jobs away from me having to organise things constantly with people.
So you're working a lot smarter there. That's what comes across to me, is that you're working smarter. Yeah, obviously you've elevated your level of professionalism. And the reason why I sort of say you're working smarter, so when we talk about this fourth electricity revolution or electricity 4.0, so in my world, we talk about it as it's a fuel to become more sustainable for a more resilient world. And we combine electric and digital. The digital element really starts to build a smart future. And we talk about electricity and making energy green. So, you know, we term it electricity is the most efficient energy and best vector of decarbonisation. And then when you add on to that digital, it makes, and I love this term because I get it wrong a lot of the time, it makes invisible the visible. No, see, I did it. I got it wrong again. So digital makes visible what was previously invisible. And that way, then you can start to eliminate waste and drive efficiency. I'm going to sort of bring this back to, and I said earlier on, most of us are on these digital journeys, whether we realize it, whether we like it, it's happening to us in the world around us. So if you think about some of the major sort of technology advances or innovations that have happened around you at home, many of us have taken these without realizing it. So artificial intelligence at home, so smartphones, many of us have got sort of devices that you can call it or you can say its name and you can say, what's the weather like? Turn the radio on. Turn the lights on.
We have boil the kettle.
Amazing.
Smart, I like that.
Smart plugs. You know, it's when all these things come out, I sort of looked at it and I was like, these things are just lazy, or they're, you know, it's not going to catch on. It's, and now I love it. I'm in bed, I'm like, turn the kettle on. I can hear it going.
On that note, I think we're going to probably have a break for a coffee in a second. I think that, you know, that kettle topic's a good one. I think one of the topics around this is it's all about innovation, but all of those rely on electric and digital coming together. Turn the kettle on, electricity, digital to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Turn the lights on, check the weather. So all of these recent innovations, they're combining two topics of electric and digital. And I suppose what really comes to my mind is, and I've been in this industry for some time, is how the industry is evolving. And sometimes we forget, we used to operate on a very linear power value train, or the distribution network, as it were. We used to generate some electricity. We used to burn some fossil fuels. We used to then put that over a distribution network out to some end users. So whether it's in commercial industrial buildings, residential applications like us all at home, you know, the more topical one recently is electric vehicle charging, whether you're at home or, you know, you just stop on the motorway to charge. It was quite straightforward. And that electricity network's been about for many, many years, you know, well before I joined this industry. But there's changes that are happening and have already happened. And I think sometimes we just think it's futuristic. And it's really not futuristic, because the software that you just talked about that's really making a level of efficiency with your business, you know, job allocation, quotations directly onto a software platform that then you send out to your customer, they accept it, you do the work, it converts it to an invoice. How streamlined is that? And that's all about sort of digitization. Even the electrical network's been enhanced by connectivity. So yes, we generate, or we might purchase some electricity from Europe or some of our neighbouring countries. We then distribute that over the transmission networks, as we call it. But what's happened in between the transmission and the end user? There's some interesting changes that have taken place. You know, you only have to drive on the motorway, probably, you know, further out on the M6, and you'll start to see solar farms. So what we've started to get is there's an element of distributed generation, or decentralized storage even, so battery storage, photovoltaics, wind turbines. We've got the element of smart grid in the middle, because it needs to start become a little bit more dynamic. And then at the end, you've got end users that are really focused on energy efficiency and demand side response. So I've recently had a smart meter at home, and, you know, we've been talking about smart meters for many years. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this topic because it can be a little bit of an interesting topic to talk about.
But I think it's almost the starting point from a residential point of view anyway. a few years ago, we introduced the smart meters, and they are doing what we're talking about. They are moving things into a digital platform. You don't have to wander into the garage or open that cupboard under the stairs to look at your meter anymore. It's all connected. I think that was almost a starting point that leads on to what you're just saying, Deepak.
James, you just brought us into this topic now. Now I have to tell you about the experience I've had with my smart meter. So I've got visibility of what's going on in my house, gas, electricity. The heating's been turned off. The schedule's now reduced by half an hour. And it's all about efficiency because I can see the energy that I'm using. I'm starting to take decisions based on the information that I can see now. The other topic that I think a number of our customers talk about is demand side response. So they need to understand what they've got available to them, when they've got availability. It's all about having that level of insight. And what we're saying essentially through this little element that I've talked about is the electrical network's been enhanced by connectivity. So that again comes back to the topic of electricity and digital coming together to start to bring some level of enhancement and efficiency.
Well, as you say, it's making the invisible visible to you so you can manage what you're doing when you're doing it by the digital information that you're getting off it.
Or the other way around when I get it wrong. So I think coming off the back of that point is a lot of the changes that are happening, and sometimes we think it's really futuristic. The technology is already in existence. It's already there. It's all about how we embrace that technology, I think, in my sort of view. And Amy, you just mentioned exactly that you've taken your business on a journey. You've gone from, you know, your traditional approach with your notebook, and you've taken this software platform. I think one of the things I suppose you mentioned is the interaction you had with your customers was elevated. You were perceived in a slightly different way. Do you mind telling me a little bit more about that? Because there's something that obviously you've got an element of efficiency for you as a business owner, but there's, on the flip side, there's a whole sort of new perspective that your customer has seen you in. Yeah. What's it done for you?
I think it's taken me from people seeing me as like almost like not unprofessional, like someone who's just really new to the industry, a new business just starting out. Do you know what I mean? Just being on my own to suddenly being, oh wow, she's got this business set up. They're doing really well. It's very professional. I don't know how to word it. It's like a proper business.
More efficient.
It's more efficient, and it's more professional. I think that's the biggest thing. And I didn't see the benefit of it at the beginning, to be honest, just because I was just scared of taking that leap. Because I feel like when you have your pen and paper, you're in control, aren't you? That's you and your pen and paper. You know everything. But that doesn't help when you want to bring 10 people into that, because you can't all share that notepad and pen, can you? So I think, yeah, it's the professionalism that people are really going to, that people have really noticed and that are going to see.
And also the customers also ready to see the all of thing in digital platforms.
Yeah.
Because of we are so digital, we have social media, and we can track our deliveries, you know, on the application.
Yeah.
We don't have to ask or we don't have to message. So you are doing your business in a digital way, and the customer also ready for that.
Yeah. And it has lots of other benefits as well. Like, you know, because when you've got multiple people working for you and everybody works differently and at different rates, and it helps us keep track of, you know, jobs and how long those jobs are taking. So for them future booking jobs in, you know, I get more of an idea for each of the lads. You know, we think, well, they'll fit both of those jobs in on one day, because when they did that last time, it only took them 2 hours. And there's lots of benefits. Every day I'm seeing more and more benefits of it.
Do you know what I call that? Insights. So you've now inadvertently, so whether you plan to get this or not, yes, you became more professional.
Yep.
But you just captured a level of insight to your business, mm-hmm. that allows you to bring and take advantage of efficiencies. Mm-hmm. So you know now, one of your guys or one of the girls that are out on site, they can do that job in 2 hours, whereas in the past you do the job, you don't really know, they come back, they take another job. You can now plan in, because you've got the visibility, 2, 3, or even 4 jobs mm-hmm. of different sort of a different setup or configuration, because you've got an insight of how long it's going to take in approximation.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get some issues, you know, sometimes times delays and all the rest, but you're now empowered to make a decision.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have seen that with your notepad, would you?
No. And it would be a lot of, there'd be a lot more message exchanges between us. And that, if you've only got one person working for you, that's not as bad. But when you start getting 3, 4, 5, that, you know, that gets tricky. Also, with these systems, you say I book one of the lads onto a job and I book him 3 hours, and it's coming up to the 3 hours and he's, there's been a problem, it's going to take him a lot longer. He doesn't even need to contact me. He can go onto the system and ping a text to his next customer on his diary to say, I'm running 30 minutes late, 45, an hour. And customers really appreciate that. So from feedback that I've had over, you know, the last few years, the to be for a tradesperson to be seen as organized is a real benefit, because people the most issues that people have is people turning up late or not turning up at all. So to keep that communication open with your customer all the time is a huge benefit. People, you know, will really take note of that, and you're much more likely to get repeat work.
So at that point, you've got your finger on the pulse. You know exactly what's happening, when it's happening. That's about you operating as a business. Now, think about some of the products that you install. Imagine having a product that allowed you to have that same level of information, same level of detail, keeping your finger on the pulse, so that you knew in that electrical distribution, you know exactly what's happening, when it's happening, how it's happening, how many times it's happened.
Imagine
I'm not going to tell you any more about that just yet. I think it's really good that the conversation that we're having is, all of the listeners probably face some of these challenges, maybe even thinking, do we take that step in taking some software platform? Do we take a digital journey? What's the impact? You know, I'm operating with a full diary. Do I really need to do that? I can tell you of an experience where I had a tree surgeon do some work for me. I had 3 quotations. One was on a piece of paper, on a notepad. One was a text message, and one was exactly that on a software platform. Very professional, really detailed, explained to me what was happening. I then clicked to convert that quote to an order. They then, through text message, automated, gave me an update on the time, when they would attend, got an update before they arrived. They did the work. They then went away. The order then got converted to an invoice. I made a payment. It was so simple.
Seamless.
But my perception was, this isn't Trotter's independent trading.
Yeah.
This is a very formal business that is going to deliver a service. And it gave me the confidence as a customer that I'm going to get what I'm intending to get. And the follow-up, the guidance, the comms, you know, all of that throughout was brilliant.
Yeah.
And I think in our industry, we probably are starting to move into this direction, but the actual sort of view from a customer point, I can tell you, myself, the experience I've had. So I think we probably undervalue it sometimes.
I think that level of professionalism that you're putting out, you attract the customers that you want. I think it worked before I had this software. I think it worked for me because, like I said, I wasn't advertising. So you imagine a lot of my clients, I either knew, they were friends or direct friends or family. They were friends of those or family or recommendations of those. So I kind of knew a lot of the people I was working with, and the builder that I work, I do all of his work. He's a close friend. So I think it worked for me just because I kind of had a relationship with a lot of these people anyway. So there was never any issue with them sort of questioning my professionalism, even if I was communicating over text or WhatsApp. But I think when you want to grow, and like you said, if you had the choice between these 3 different types of quotes, and for me as the business owner, there's a certain type of customer I want to attract. That's going to help. It works both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I guess if you're trying to attract a customer that wants to take that digital journey with you, wants to put digital technology and that in their building, in their house and what have you, and you walk up with a pen and paper,
it's not going to give them a customer that wants a proper job. And don't get me wrong, you don't always get customers like that. Yeah. You get customers that want a really cheap, basic job. And we're kind of at the point of, you know, we're so busy. Do we want those jobs? Do we want to be doing really cheap, rushed jobs for people? Well, no, not really, because we've got the opportunity to work with bigger, better clients. I know there's always a place for those type of jobs, for that type of work, but I think the software and the professionalism is what attracts the right client for you. It's, you know, as the client, that was what attracts the right sort of contractor, isn't it?
Thanks for listening. Remember, this is just part one of a conversation with Amy, so make sure you subscribe to hear the next episode when it's released. And don't forget to check out the show notes for all the important information discussed in today's show.